Taylor from MMA UK and in the Girls Corner, and I am here speaking with Chad Hooker about, oh my gosh, his amazing gym and facility called Puzzle Piece Athletics. Chad, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you, Carrie?
I'm very well, thank you. I am just so excited that I stumbled upon an article for your gym, and I'm just really, really excited to talk to you about it.
Same.
Tell us a little bit about your gym and how you started it.
So I run Puzzle Piece Athletics out of Combat Sports Academy in Dublin, California, which is was started as like a Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, Krav Maga gym, which in turn kind of opened into a CrossFit gym, kind of like all together. And I started coaching there about 6.5 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And I was running the kids program, the CrossFit kids program for them. And I just kind of grew and grew after working with these kids. And I had a lady come up to me actually when I was teaching one of the CrossFit kids classes. And she came up to me and she was like, "Hey, like, do you do any personal sessions?" And I was like, "Oh, like, of course, like, what do you need help with?" And she was like, "Oh, well, it's not really for me, but it's for my friend. And it's not really for her. It's for her kid. And he's on the spectrum." And at that point I was kind of like, "Oh, like, I don't exactly know what you mean." And she's like, "Oh, you know, he has autism." And I was like, "Okay, like, give her my information. Here you go. And like, let's get him in and see how it goes." And that kind of sprouted into Puzzle Piece Athletics. I started working with this young kid, and I just fell in love with it. You know, I saw all the positive things that were happening for him, and the mom would come back being like, "You don't know what you're doing for my child. Like, this is amazing." And yeah, just kind of sprouted into Puzzle Piece Athletics.
That's incredible. You know, there is such a stigma about, you know, what kind of athleticism you can do with a kid that has special needs or on the spectrum or whatever. And I've for years told people, get your kid into martial arts. I mean, the textures, the confidence building, the stimulation, I could go on and on of all the great things that I said I thought would be a really, really great thing for somebody that has those kind of issues that can't really do it in a regular kind of setting.
Like a group setting or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see what these people are capable of. Like, they're so capable, and just with the right amount of like push and positive motivation, they can do amazing things. Yeah, I find I get a lot of parents coming to me that's like, "Oh, like, my child or my young adult doesn't do well in like a group setting in like baseball or soccer." You know, they kind of get pushed to the back of the crowd and kids kind of excel, but they really don't. So yeah, it's the program is going crazy just because of the one-on-one basis and how we give our 100% attention to the athlete and really build them from the ground up, whether it be they have really low confidence, low strength, muscle tone, all that good stuff. But yeah, it's amazing stuff.
You know, and it's I know there's a few professional fighters that have autism or are on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, Serena Southpaw, she, I believe, is on the spectrum, and John Howard. And she just signed, she had a fight for Invicta
okay.
a couple weeks back. And
John Howard fights for Bellator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he fight for Bellator?
John Howard fought for UFC and now he's in PFL.
Okay. PFL, that's where he is. Yeah. We have, one of the girls that's doing some stand-up coaching for Angus, one of the Puzzle Piece Athletics clients, Jenna Fabian, fights for a PFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. She's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's crazy because when I read an article about him, he didn't find out that he was autistic until they had him get a CT scan. And they said, "You know, we want you to come in for some further testing." And when he went in and they read the results to him and his mom, and it wasn't until he was in his 30s, and she said, "Now everything makes sense." They had no idea.
Wow, I'm glad he found out. Yeah, that's really cool.
And there is another fight for Bellator.
Yeah, is he doing a lot of stuff around like the autism community and stuff like that now that he knows?
You know, I'm not quite sure. I'm actually trying to get him to come and shoot in the pool tournament that I'm throwing, and to talk to him about that, because, you know, it is, there's just a big, big stigma. And you know, you look at these, you know, young people that are all over the place with the guy, I forget his name, with the socks. He's from Long Island. He has autism and he came up with a sock company. I can't remember the name of it, but my dad has a bunch of his socks and they're really, really cool. So it just shows like that there is no limit if they, you know, if people get the right structure and the right positive, you know, environment, what yeah. they can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool to see when these kids come into the gym to see like how low their confidence is. And then after a couple months, how much, you know, with that positive reinforcement and the positive motivation, how much it changes them. I've had kids come in to where they don't even want to like step foot like in the gym, to where they like look, and it's just so overwhelming when you have the Muay Thai class going on, like jujitsu, CrossFit and powerlifting. It's just, it's so overwhelming. And they'll kind of like look in and they'll be like, no way, dude, like I'm out. But after a couple months of getting them used to that, they're just like right in with the crowd, like telling jokes and being friends with everybody. It's such an amazing thing to see. Yeah.
And you know, it just beyond the confidence building, it shows them a team aspect that, you know, and I do see that. You could see people that are very shy and may be afraid to be into groups, and you know, it's not hard to get them to see like, oh, look, you know, everybody's doing it and everybody's excited. And, yeah. you know, eventually that's a good way of integrating, because at the end of the day, I know that they, you know, kids that have, you know, autism or on the spectrum, they get integrated into regular classes. So what a great way to also help that along.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it kind of prepares them for everyday life also, you know, like working on their maladaptive situations, all that kind of good stuff, like
problem solving.
Yeah, exactly. Putting him like, just kind of like tossing him in the fire, basically, you know, like I'm not trying to put these kids in a box when they come to the gym, right? Because society does that already. So I'm trying to be that person that pushes them so far out of the box that it gets them ready for everyday life, like how to communicate with neurotypical people, how to deal with the everyday situations, like what happens when these kids get old enough and they need to be self-sufficient, they need to go get jobs if they can, you know, like where I want them to flourish in life, and that's what I'm trying to get them ready for. So it's a really, really cool thing to see them come in and like communicate with all these people in the gym. And you know, I can never recreate what CSA has, and it's so awesome that everybody in the gym is so like, so cool with these kids, you know, going like high five, like, hey, Curtis, how's your day? And like all this good stuff. So it's just a wonderful environment. Yeah. Really good for the kids.
You know, I'm going to ask my cousin where he lives in California, because his son has autism and they've been integrating him into, you know, living and being on his own as much as they can.
Yeah.
You know, there's a supervisor and he's got hours where he's on his own. And I believe my cousin actually lives with him, but it's like they're roommates
yeah.
more than anything. And he lets him, you know, do what he's got to do. And he puts a list on the refrigerator of what's his and what it's.
Yeah. It's right. It's got to be structured.
Yeah. He goes, I come home and I go to sit and watch TV, and he leaves the room. I'm like, okay. But you know, it's something that, it could help the parents too, to be able yeah. to, you know, learn how to interact and how to, you know, cause it's a tough puzzle to solve.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had friends of mine where I've sat down and, you know, I had a friend of mine very recently, her son is very, very young, almost two. And I said, you know, I just want to bring something to your attention. And I said, and if you, you know, stop me, if you don't, you know, if you're uncomfortable with this, I said, but you should have your son evaluated. Because the little things that I'm seeing and not seeing are detrimental that he is able to function in society. So just get him. And I said, you know, we had a long talk about it. And it turns out he does. He's on the spectrum. He has spectrum disorder. But I said, you know, it's just little things that I know, because I'm my niece. I could count on my hands how many kids I've been in front of that have it, that there's just little, you know.
Yeah,
it's
the things that you can pick out that kind of, yeah, see it.
Yeah. And I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I said, at the end of the day, you get him the services that he needs now and everything that he needs, not only will he be flourishing and functioning, you know, I said, at the end of the day, he might be steps ahead of the other kids because he's got that extra help.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, he definitely will be. Yeah, whether it be like ABA or PRT or anything along those lines, speech therapy, whatever it may be. Yeah, getting it done early and realizing what's going on to help these kids get through life. Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference for him. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's a change that needs to be made even on the level of diagnosis and the age that they do it. You know, they say it has to be done at 2, but I think there's major, major tells well before that.
Yeah. As an infant. Yeah. Yeah. Are they making eye contact with you? Are they very silent? You know, like there's some indicators that you can kind of pick up on. Yeah.
Big time. And it could happen as early as infancy. And that's, I think that more doctors need to get on board with that and say, you know, look, we're not trying to label everybody, but at the end of the day, you can, you know, I have bipolar. My mom said she knew when I was a baby. She said, she goes, I don't want to say anything mean to you, but I knew there was something wrong. You didn't, you know, I have a twin. My twin was the typical infant, slept, cried normal. And I was constantly like beyond colic and, you know,
yeah.
But the thing was, we didn't find out until I was in my 20s, which it is what it is now. I'm 40 and, you know, my life is great, but you know, had we found out earlier, you know, you could go with that argument. My dad was always afraid of putting me in martial arts because I was a very violent kid. I was very angry and we couldn't figure out why. And
yeah, but that probably helped you. I can imagine, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of making it worse, it like when I started kickboxing, I said to my dad, like I was feeling worlds better because I couldn't do yoga. I mean, I can, I'm very flexible. It doesn't stimulate me because I need something that's a fast paced, constant action, you know,
yeah.
Getting that aggression out is important.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And with kids on the spectrum and adults on the spectrum too, that, the pad work, that cross body kind of stimulation and
yeah.
Getting the brain to notice that like kind of like cross body movement and lateral movement is huge. Yeah. It's huge for these kids. You know, because that lateral movement and cross body movement is very, very difficult. But yeah, you can see when the kids like come out of the session with like Jenna or Amber or Carla, when they do the stand up sessions, like it's like they love it. They absolutely love it. Like they're like, oh my God, their confidence went up. Like they're like, oh, I did that. Like they just look more grounded, you know, as opposed to like when they come in, they're really kind of shy. But when they leave, they're like, yeah, like that was awesome. Like, can't wait to do that again. It's so cool. Yeah. Yeah. But very good for them. Yeah. I want to start like a jujitsu and yoga program for these kids. That way it's kind of like a bully proof system, but they have the pad work, they have the jujitsu and then the yoga to kind of like calm everything down. But yeah, to really help them and get them into something else. Because, you know, like, again, like we were talking about those group sessions is really hard, but to get these kids to realize that they can defend themselves and it's another outlet for them and it's by themselves. Okay. It's you versus you basically, you know, that I think that will really, really help this population and these kids to kind of like grow and overcome and see what they are capable of.
Well, yeah, because the population is growing as well.
Yeah.
Every day. And, you know, I don't think that there was enough attention on it when we were younger, whereas I can, you know, there's little sensory issues. Sorry about that.
That's
sorry
okay.
About that. There's little sensory issues and things that I have, loud noises. I'm not a fan of really bright lights when I go to fight. It's a tough thing for me because sometimes, you know, the lights, if they're too bright and shine right in my face, I have to kind of turn away a little bit. And, you know, little things that I notice. Yeah, that like, and my friend said, she's like, you know, you have little ticks. She like, but, you know, and I said, but those things weren't labeled when we were kids. That wasn't a label. It was, you were one or the other, you know,
yeah.
It was extremes. There was no in between. And it's a good thing that there is because, you know, I don't think that every kid is a standard kid to begin with. So to put every kid through a regular schooling, in my personal opinion, isn't the way to go about it. I think we'd have more productive members of society growing up if we tailored education to people that how they need it.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you really would. I have people come up to me like, that's a normal kid. Like what's normal, you know, like how can you say that? You know, so yes. it's yeah, to to make schooling available for everybody and to kind of generalize it would be very good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I actually, one of my friends the other day, we were talking and she was telling me how bad her daughter was at math. And I believe her daughter definitely gets services. I don't know what she has. I've never asked. It's just, you know, we talk about that though. I don't need to ask. And she said her daughter was really bad at math, both of them. And I said, you know, what's really crazy is I was an awful math student. Like I can compute
terrible
grammar like crazy. I'm very good at spelling. My memory is insane. But you give me math, and math is really just memory. I can't do it, but I can problem solve really well. And not that I can't, my brain for some reason just doesn't compute it, doesn't like it. Now, when I was in high school, and I was in two districts away, and that school had me where I think the passing was 70 or 75. The other one was 65, which, you know, was a little easier for some people, which that wasn't the problem. The problem was is I couldn't pass the sequential maths back then. So when my dad said, you know, why don't you try going to the high school over here? So I went to a different high school in a different district. And when they picked up on that, I couldn't get through the Regences. They said, you know, why don't we give her, she won't graduate with a regional, but I graduated with a regular diploma and I took a science and art sequence.
Okay.
So I was able to graduate high school. I had the three sciences, the three arts, and we called it a day, but they even offered it where you could do a language and something else sequence. So they had so many different options instead of math. And my friend went and she goes, that's not possible. My daughter graduated last year and I'm telling you, she had to have a regional. Well, she went into the school and was explaining this to the guidance counselor. You know, one of my friends mentioned it. She goes, no, we do have that.
Okay.
We do have that program. Your daughter could take, if in the time that we see that she can't get through the certain sequences, we can absolutely give her a different kind of math where she'll be able to, you know, or not a different kind of math, a different program where she'll be able to graduate.
Yeah. So when I was in there, they just had like, I don't even think I made it past basic math. I was so bad, but it was like,
that's where I was.
Yeah. It was that the numbers and everything just never computed in my brain. I was so bad at math. And I think I failed it like three times.
Me too.
I never got past it. And it was because like, I just numbers in my head, just, it didn't make
they
sense.
Confuse me. Yeah. They confuse me. Numbers always have, they always will. Like I've never seen a fraction pop up. I mean, percentages, I still have to like figure out, but I haven't had a fraction pop up in my lifetime yet. Or one of those X equals Y and all that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nonsense. But I think if more people were well aware of the fact that there are different programs and different, you can do schooling a little bit differently, but you have to ask, they're not just going to go and be like, by the way, we have this other option. No, they want everybody to be cookie cutter. They want everybody. It's almost like, why are you going to give kids more of stress than they already have?
Yeah.
Why make it even worse? You know, like that was, school was tough for me because I didn't enjoy it, because when you're not doing well and like you feel like the single that person that's failing all the time, how good can you be doing? And you take a kid with behavioral issues to boot.
Yeah, they're not just going to they're not going to show up for school.
Yeah, and you have, you know, kids with on the spectrum and with autism that are in inclusive classes. You know what I mean? There's so many little things that, like, if they started, you know, trying to integrate kids earlier and like, social issues are a very important thing. And for them to even take, what was it, Asperger's off the spectrum, I was blown away. Yeah. Asperger's should absolutely be on there because social disorders, you have to be able to be social with people to function.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% you do. Yeah.
You can't have a job if you can't have an interview.
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of people with Asperger's, even though they're extremely, extremely smart people and 100% with it, sometimes they have those like little social tics to where, you know, they can't sit in a room for too long, or like someone, the inflection in their voice changes and they're like, oh, I'm out of here. Like that doesn't work, you know? So yeah. Yep.
I think the more awareness that we have, the better. You know, I hate talking politics at all in interviews, but I do. The one thing I have to say, the $1.8 billion bill for autism awareness, regardless of how it came up, who signed it, that was so detrimental to what's going on right now. And if it's going to help a growing trend, I don't even know what to call it anymore because it's just growing exponentially.
It's out of control. Trump did sign that, right?
$1.8 $1 billion bill.
Something crazy like that. And now the families are able to, are they now, is that like a stipend for these families with
I'm gonna look into exactly spectrum? What it is. I know that it was for raising awareness and something else, but I'm gonna look into exactly what it is. But
yeah, exactly.
The fact so that cool that's the first time was huge because yeah. It is. It's a good, there's an astronomical number at this point is getting bigger and bigger. So the more
I think it was like
about it, the better.
70 million. And my numbers could be up at 70 million people are on the spectrum. And I don't know if that was in the US or if that was worldwide, but it's a huge, huge number.
Oh yeah. And honestly, the way I see it is, I kind of think that they have superpowers. You know what I mean? I look at it very
they
different
do.
Because it's, you know, they excel exponentially in certain things, you know, and in certain things they might lack a little bit, but those are things that normal people don't really excel in. You know, the fact that they can say things and not really care what anybody else thinks.
Yeah. They don't have a filter.
Yeah, you know, and I do have a filter, but what I do have is I also don't really care. I never care. And then, you know, because I want to be controversial. I want to say things that everybody's afraid to.
Yeah, you want to be who you are.
Yeah, it's going to get stuck out there. You know, if you're not going to talk about it, there's never going to be a change. And I'm constantly, that's a big thing. You know, you want change, you got to talk, you got to bring it up. You got to, you know, get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, for some people, is an uncomfortable conversation. I have a guy that I interview all the time, Brandon Teague. He's such a great young guy. I think he's from Ohio. He is definitely from Ohio, Tulsa. Yes. And we've done interviews countless times. I think we're doing another one coming up. He has cerebral palsy.
Okay.
And he's does jujitsu.
Oh, nice. That's really cool.
And yeah. Apparently it's helped him immensely.
Oh, I'm sure it has. Jujitsu is a wonderful thing for people with cerebral palsy. Like just because their brain's not sending messages to the rest of their body. Right. So to have that, okay, now they're breaking down the movement for you. Okay, grab the gi here. I want you to pull here. Like, okay, grab his leg here and start. Yeah. Like, that's huge. That is a great, great tool for people with cerebral palsy. Yeah, I love jujitsu so much.
I have a cousin that plays pool and he has cerebral palsy. And actually the pool league that I play in just started a division. I would call it a division for autism for specifically out east. There's a pool league specifically for autism.
That's really cool.
Which again, it's a whole different ball game of you know, textures, the ball, the you know, accuracy of the angles and stuff. That like a lot of. Let me tell you something. There's a guy that shoots. He is a fantastic pool player, and I'm pretty sure he has Asperger's. Because a lot of people have said, you know, Seth always wears the same thing. I'm like, there's a reason. The textures are probably really comfortable for him. And he's probably extremely comfortable in that outfit. And that's why he wears it out all the time. I'm like, trust me, it's not just because he's got nothing to wear. He's very comfortable in that.
Hey, he knows the style, man. He knows the style.
but people aren't well aware of that. And they, you know, a lot of people will like, you know, they're like, what's up with Seth? And I'm like, take it easy on Seth. I'm like, just do yourself a favor. I said, I'm just making a very educated guess, but I'd assume that he has Asperger's, and they're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, yeah, you think people aren't just, you know, a little off because they are, you know, take the time to talk to somebody because you might see and learn something.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned so many things from these kids, just patience level, everything you can possibly imagine. You know, these kids are so smart and they really tell it like it is. Like, they don't hold anything back. So it's really cool to be around them. And it's helped me grow as a person a lot, just being around them. Yeah.
It does. And you know, you're going to learn so much about yourself, which is just, like you said, you're going to grow as a person. And that's just gigantic because you don't know what kind of person you are till you can have that kind of compassion.
Yeah.
And you literally have so much compassion and so much patience that you could pretty much put it, because you know, if you have a kid with ADD or ADHD or whatever, they're going to be, you know, going, oh, wait, you know, you have to have extreme patience to be able to deal with that. You know, there's people that I see teaching, I'm like, why are you teaching? You know what
you
I
don't
mean?
You don't have the patience for this. Yeah. You should do something else.
It is imperative. I'm also a hairstylist by trade. And I built a whole second career. And I really, it's funny because my friends are like, you don't really try. I'm like, not for that. I try to do as many special needs kids' hair as I can because it's a very, very hard experience for them to go to a barbershop or salon.
Yeah, you kind of, I saw this video where the barber had took a chair out of the barbershop and put it outside to cut this kid who was on the spectrum, his hair, you know, and it went much better, but just because that kid couldn't be inside with everything going on, the noise of the clippers, and you know, it's so much overload, you know?
Absolutely. And I've cut kids' hair underneath kitchen tables. It's any kid really at this point that I've learned that it's, first off, when a parent brings a kid for a haircut and you're giving them a really scary, bad experience, that will be carried with them forever. Oh, and they forever. Will always hate haircuts.
Yeah. And always. And they won't forget. They will never forget. So, yeah, you have to make that experience really good.
I try to make it a good experience. And I tell them, listen, let him take a break. If he's crying and he needs a break, I'm not going to tell a kid, don't. No, just chill. He'll calm down. Yep. We'll revisit this, you know what I mean?
And then, he'll come back.
Whatever's easier. If he needs the iPad, give it to him. I'm not going to say no. Like, a lot of people aren't, they don't tailor to the fact that, just like I said, everybody isn't standardized. So, you know, it's the more, like I said, the more people that talk about it in every sense of, you know, what makes it easier. Didn't the police force just start training their officers to look out for a person that has autism and stuff that can't speak and can't hear and or whatever the case may be?
You know, they might have, and if they didn't, they definitely should, because that is the fire department, police department, doctors, and anybody, you know, people on the spectrum need to go to the hospital. Like, they have encounters with EMTs. Like, they should be trained on how to deal with them, you know, like that. If that's not happening, it 100% should. There needs to be some kind of like method to where they need to follow, like in all the police departments, it needs to be structured. It needs to be the same. This is how you greet somebody. This is how you kind of pick up, you know, are they giving you eye contact? Are they nonverbal? Have, you know, like whatever that may be, they need to be doing that.
Yeah. And it will absolutely help with the mental health problem that we have going on too. You see, you know, people, they don't know what to look at. They don't know what to look out for, and it's unfortunately there. It's an ignorance that needs and can be very easily corrected. You know, people that have experience in it, so people like you and I constantly will tell people, like, it's not hard to see if you just open your eyes. You know what I mean? And it's not hard to go, well, if this person's not respond, there might be a reason. Let's adjust, figure out. But it's detrimental at this point, because you see stuff on the news all the time and in the papers where an unnecessary thing happens because somebody can't verbalize.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a threat. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure who would start something like that, but there definitely needs to be someone that leads that kind of forefront to EMTs, doctors, police departments on how to get them trained like that. Because I've heard some things too, where like a cop, it is just not with someone on the spectrum, but in, you know, just in general, like pulling, the first thing they do is pull out their gun when they feel scared, you know. But how about some verbal cues? How about, you know, maybe like a contact cue for these people? Like, hey, like, how's your day going? You know, like what seems to be the problem? And if they're not getting a reaction out of it, okay, like perhaps this is the reason. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I do want to thank you so much for taking a half an hour out of your day. I know you have some things going on, but I do want to thank you so much for stopping and talking to me.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Athletics. And I want you to tell us where you're located, how to get in contact with you, social media, the floor is yours. Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
So, Puzzle Piece Athletics is located in Dublin, California, East Bay. I run Puzzle Piece Athletics out of Combat Sports Academy, which is also in Dublin in the East Bay, California. You can get a hold of me through social media, Puzzle Piece Athletics on Instagram or Facebook, or you can send me an email at puzzlepieceathletics@gmail.com. Yep.
Awesome. Chad, thank you so, so much again. I truly appreciate it. I definitely want to do another interview soon. Maybe we can revisit after. I'm definitely going to talk to some local politicians about how we can get that implemented. You know, it's really all done at a local level. So I would love to do another interview and talk about how we can, you know, make a change with this.
Absolutely.
It's going to be done together, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be trying to expand my business to everywhere in the United States. I want everywhere to have access to a Puzzle Piece Athletics, and I really want to help all the neurodiverse people out there and give them a safe place to work out and, you know, and just feel like part of the crowd and really help this community. And I'll be putting on seminars and all that good stuff. So yeah, hopefully I'll see everybody out there so you guys can learn the Puzzle Piece Athletics method.
And when you have anything coming up, please contact me, send me something. I will definitely pump out there whatever you have going on. Also, anybody out there that's watching this that might want to get a program going in their gym or facility, please contact Chad at Puzzle Piece Athletics. You are on Instagram, Facebook, you're everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Awesome. Everywhere. Except for Twitter. I'm on Twitter. Don't go to Twitter.
Well, I will believe you. But thank you so much, and we will definitely be speaking again, because next time you have an event coming up, we're going to pump that out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carrie. It was very nice talking with you. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. It was great to have you on, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to stop the recording.